Well, it's been quite a year. I tell you, it has been another one of those years. There have been some ups, there have been some downs, been some good times, been some times we'd rather not think about. This is life, amen?
Amen?
And next year lies before us, so churches all over the world are talking about next year and rolling out their program for the next year. People have already come up to me, weeks ago, people were asking me, what are we going to do next year? What's our reading going to be for next year? And what I have come to learn is some of you are enjoying this reading plan. That reading through the Word of God has been beneficial. And that isn't to say if you haven't been participating that you're deficient in any way. I'm just thankful that those who are participating are actually being touched by the Word of God. Because after all, that's why He gave us His Word, right? Now, a little over a year and a half ago, you realize, of course, Carol and I went on this trip called the Camino de Santiago, trip across Spain. And at the time, we didn't really understand what was going on. We simply watched a movie and got moved by the Spirit to go do the thing. It didn't make a lot of sense to do it, but we just felt called, and so off we go. And if you followed through our blog, we had a wonderful hike across Spain and got home and re-engaged with life and family and church and everything's back to normal. Except us. Well, I know, you don't think I was normal to begin with. But we just have not been able to get the whole concept of the Camino out of our system. And that concept is not just about hiking and walking. It's not just about exercise or something. It's about what happens inside us when we're on a committed, definite kind of a pilgrimage. So we started learning about pilgrimage, and it's something foreign to us. So I know I'm talking in language that you don't have any place to hang to. I mean, this isn't something that's normal for us, what a pilgrimage is, because it is such a devotion, and it's not common to our lives. But it is transformative. It is one of those kinds of things that it causes you to be tongue-tied, perhaps. How do I explain the transformation of God that goes on inside me? How do you explain the transformation of God that goes inside you? And yet, the Word encourages us to know how to communicate this. Right? Let's look at that as we think about next year. So, a Camino. The word Camino, just think of it in the Spanish word, stands for a walk. A Camino is a walk, or sometimes it's translated a path. In the spiritual sense, you're on a path. But a Camino is a walk, and it's meant to be an opportunity for spiritual discovery and growth. Is there anyone who would want to reject that? Right. If we said to you, would you like an opportunity for spiritual growth and would you like a deeper walk with God, you would say, of course, yes. Walking, you see, gives one time and solitude to be alone with God. Now, a few weeks back, Doug Turpinning shared with us that he's been walking. And I assume you leave your house and you have a little route that you go in kind of that neighborhood up there on Green Mountain Road, right? It's out in the country. It's beautiful. It's often quiet. Few cars go by, maybe a tractor now and again. But it's just you and God's creation. And Doug's testimony was that while he's been walking, the Spirit of God has had time to work in him. Transformative things. Taking him deeper places. Helping him grow as a man of God. So his testimony to us was that taking the time and having the discipline to go on this walk has been a very beneficial thing, not only to him, but spilling out upon his family. Would that be accurate?
Yes.
Yes. His testimony, if you will, confirms just what Carol and I discovered when we did our big Camino. But not everybody gets to go to Spain. I get it. Not everybody is physically able to just get up and walk, you know, several miles in the country. So how can you and I, as a church body, is it even possible for us as a church body to go on a walk together? A Camino. Is it possible for us as a family committed to one another? We give our time, we give our money, we share our gifts and talents, yes? Is it possible for us to go on a Camino together? So that question has been, it's been in my soul now. And here's what I would like to announce to you. This coming year, 2015, we are going to go on a Camino. A Camino of the Bible. We're going to walk through the Word of God again together. But we're going to have to connect some dots here. We're going to have some pieces of a puzzle we're going to have to put together this morning. And Philip, I hope you're recording this so that people who aren't here later hear about this, they can read this or play this back. This message is on our website probably tomorrow. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Here's what it reads. Okay, 12:11. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb. Do you know the rest of it? By the word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb refers to Jesus Christ. So the overcoming, victorious life, the component of that that Jesus Christ is to do has been done. Right? Jesus has shed his blood for us. The second part of that component of becoming overcoming victorious Christian is to share the word of our testimony. Cousin Larry has often encouraged us to share testimony. Some old-timey churches had what they called testimony time, and people would come up and share how they got born again, saved, baptized with the Holy Ghost, etc. And so, over the years, it seems to me, we have taken the whole idea of testimony and almost put it on a stage. And because it's been put on a stage as something that you do on a rare occasion, then people get fearful of it and they don't do it anymore. And so we have very, very rare sharing of testimony. If we're going to have an infrequent sharing of our personal testimony, how will we participate in the overcoming victory promised in Revelation chapter 12? I'm merely trying to be a selfish person with God. God, I want everything you got. Right? I want to get as close to you as I can get. And he says things like this, follow me. Yikes. Where are we going? You know, that whole... Okay, so a testimony is a very valuable thing. Now we're going to solve that with what I'm calling Camino 352. So if you like to make notes on the back of this bulletin, there's a lot of space, you can write Camino 3:52. And I hope it's going to solve your problem. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 143. Psalms 143 was in our reading just recently, last week or the week before. I've been going on these walks. I leave my house and I go on either a 3-mile loop or a 4.7-mile loop. And by the time I've gone around, I have just had the most fantastic time with God. He has just been, I mean, it's just magnificent. I'm going through there and he brings this psalm to my mind again that I had read either that morning or the day before. I want to share with you Psalm 143, 8 through 10. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord. I run to you to hide me. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Now, I've read the Psalms, as perhaps you have, numerous times, and but this thing just kind of jumped off the page to me. Show me, rescue me, teach me. this gives me three wonderful prayers that I can ask God on a daily basis, yes? Wouldn't it be good every morning to wake up and say, God, show me where to walk today? I don't mean walk around the neighborhood. Show me the path of life today. What do you have for... Would that be good? How about, oh God, keep me safe. Right? Keep me safe. Protect me from the enemy, anyone who would want to do me harm or tempt me into some kind of destruction. Show me where to walk, then keep me safe. And above all, Lord, reveal, show, teach me your will. Wow. If I am praying that prayer to God on a regular, committed basis, do you think that God's going to answer? And as he answers, will that generate within my life testimony? Does that make sense so far? Each week, what we're going to do is we're going to read the scriptures provided in our new reading plan. And it'll be found in the bulletin every week, and it'll be posted on our website. I put a few copies on the front table, but I couldn't make the two-sided copy machine print on the same sheet of paper two sides. I got it to spit out two sheets every time. But what we're going to do is reading through the Bible this year in a chronological fashion. That is, it'll start with Genesis chapter 1 and end in Revelation, but it'll be organized, the reading is organized as the events happened, not just as the Bible is laid out chapter by chapter. Are you with me? So we might start in Genesis and then jump to other places. We'll be in the Psalms. We'll jump to the prophets. You get how that's going to work. So scholars have said this is kind of how they think the events lined out. It doesn't matter if it's absolutely historically correct. We'll be reading through together, so we'll all be at the same time. We're starting this on January the 1st, not today. The reason we're starting it on January 1st is because we have 365 days in the read, and so we'll always know. All you got to know is, well, I wonder, it's February 24th. I look up February 24th on the Julian calendar. That'll be day 55 in the year. And you just go to day 55 and you know exactly what the text is to read for that year. Now, ushers, could I have your help here for a couple of men? Would you come up? Kevin and Mike, if you would just grab stacks of those and hand those out. What I'm going to give you is a pad of paper. And on the pad of paper, it has about 52 to 55 pages. Do not start tearing them off now. There's one page for every week of the year. You with me? One page for every week, so don't start ripping them off. On the pad, what you're going to notice is Camino 352. How do I get 350? Well, first, the word Camino means a walk. The word three, the three prayers that we're going to pray. And those prayers are, show me the path, and teach. So you've got three prayers. Now, there's a little block there that says week, so you can write in week 1, 2, 3 as it goes along up to week 52. And you can refer to the reading plan for that week, and you'll know what the text is. And then as you read the text, you'll be praying those prayers. Are you with me? And hopefully that during the week, during a 7-day period, my hope is that one or more of those three prayers will be answered in your life through that text. Oh boy, look, there's some lines on the pad that you could make some notes. Class, are you with me so far? Is this getting complicated? Camino 352. We're going to walk through the Word of God. We've got a defined trail we're going to walk on. It'll be revealed every week, days 1 through 7, etc. You'll have the text, and then there's the prayer to pray each day as you read. Then there's a place to write down. And if you need more paper, don't use the next sheet. That's the next week. Use a separate sheet. But the idea is to record some testimony. Now, all of that introduces what could be the toughest part of the whole deal. And I may be at some risk here, but That's part of the exciting part of this whole thing. You understand so far what you're to do?
Yes.
It's not confusing. We're taking a walk. We're going to ask three questions as we read certain scriptures. We're going to write it down because we have a testimony. All right. This is Hebrews 8 through 12. We also read this just in the last month. I've probably read this text, I don't know how many times I've read Hebrews, but I've read it a lot. I like Hebrews, the story about the priesthood and all of that, the ideas that largely for the Jewish people were being introduced, radical new things for the Jewish people. The Jewish people were a people who believed in God, true? They believed in God, and they had been told since they were born that they were to obey God's law. Correct? Obey God's law and you'll be blessed. Correct? And they had found out through their entire history of thousands of years that they weren't able to do it. And when they disobeyed God and walked away from Him, bad things happened. And they ended up in bondage, and they didn't much like that. And so then they would call upon their God in the cycle you've heard me talk about so often. And this is a cycle. How many people are in a cycle that you just can't break out of? It could be an addiction to something. It could be a habit pattern of some kind. It could be a harmless thing, or it could be a bondage. But you understand what I'm talking about, cycles. And into this mess on planet Earth stepped Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh my goodness. Jesus comes and changes everything. He says to the people, you are a member. This is Jews and Gentiles. You are a member. You are a member of a royal priesthood. Amen. They couldn't have an identity of themselves as a priest, because their whole culture, their whole lives, they paid somebody else to do it. Hello? Their whole lives they gave tithes and offerings so that somebody else took care of all the spiritual stuff. And then they went off and wrecked their lives. And now Jesus comes and says, because of me, there's a whole new deal. I fulfilled the law.
Amen.
I have fulfilled the law that you couldn't keep. I kept it.
Amen.
You are not just saved in the eternity sense. You are holy and righteous. You.
Amen.
Me? You're calling me holy? Skip, because of my blood, you are holy and righteous. Now listen to this. Hebrews 8 through 12. And see if you can catch the bombshell. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. They did not remain faithful to my covenant, so I turned my back on them, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant that I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put their laws in their mind, my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. Bang! That's when we need a timpani. Did you catch a bombshell in there?
Yes.
What was it?
For I will put my laws on their hearts. Well, I have to read it. I can't
remember. No, okay. So you're thinking that now the law's in you?
No.
You're not?
You shall not teach each one his neighbor.
Oh, bingo.
One his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest.
And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives. How many of you have grown up in a church that teaches? Do we not see as one of the central elements of modern Christianity, teaching? In fact, churches get identified by the teacher or the teaching program or the quality of the teaching or the relevancy of the teaching. It's all focused on what? The teaching. Now, it's really great if the teaching's really great and people like the teaching. And if we're really skillful at how we do everything, all right? But wait a minute. The Word of God, I didn't write this. The Word of God is saying, you know, you don't need to do that. Is he serious? What would happen if on a Sunday morning, your notepad, your Camino 352 experience that week, what would happen if you started sharing testimony of what God had done in your life? And what would happen if there was liberty and freedom and you felt not just okay about sharing your testimony, but looked forward to sharing your testimony because this is a path to your victory in life. Amen. Here's how I think it can work. Let's say somebody has a drinking problem. And they know that they shouldn't be drinking as much as they're drinking. Some would say, well then, don't drink at all. We will forbid drinking. Well, we've been trying that for a few thousand years, and we've found that the law just doesn't seem to work, does it? Does it?
No.
Certainly isn't working for the alcoholic. But this person who drinks too much doesn't want to be a drinker. Do they? No, they hate it. In fact, psychologists have found out that when you do something bad, and you know you've done something bad, you need to punish yourself. So what does the alcoholic do to punish himself or herself? Take some more drink. And so the cycle is there, and they don't like it, they hate it. Now, what would happen if the person who had the drinking problem drew closer to God?
There you go.
And said, God, show me the way to walk. Keep me from my enemy, that demon rum. And teach me your will, O God. And what would happen if the Holy Spirit began living and dwelling in that person such that the next day or two they didn't drink? Would that build them up a little? And what would happen if that person then said, and this is the foundation of AA meetings, of course, hello, my name is Bob, and I've been clean, or I haven't had a drink for 3 days, or whatever. Do you understand the power of testimony? You say it, because as soon as you say it, who's the first person to hear it? You are. So if I've got some situation in my life, my child is lying in a hospital bed, threatened with a horrible diagnosis, and I'm fried by the whole thing. Where is testimony in that? Lord, teach me how to walk through this. Keep us from the enemy. Show me your will in this whole process, O God. What is your will? And then as we read through the scriptures together, do you think it's possible that God's word would minister to the heart and soul? So whether it's something as severe as a problem with personal habitry or whether it's just trying to get through what you're facing, testimony, I don't think it happens next week that we all stand up and say, I hit the lottery. But maybe people could stand up and say, God showed me something in His Word this week. He showed me this one thing. I'm not looking for sermons. I'm not looking for you to take 20 minutes. I'm not even looking for you to take 3 minutes. I'm only looking for you to write down a testimony. This is what God spoke to me. Does that make sense? A Camino is a walk. If you're walking through the Word of God, I mean, here's where it gets very, very interesting. Every Sunday you'll share your testimony, I would hope. Fulfilling Revelation's promise You won't forget it because it's written down. You'll be able to tell others how God actually showed you how to walk. What would happen if 100 people were released on Banks, Oregon, sharing with others what God had shown them? That would be so much easier on me. Not sermons, but testimonies. I wrote a little summary here, the elements of the reading plan. Pieces of the puzzle. Revelation 12:11, opportunity for victorious, overcoming victory through testimony. Connected to a camino, that is a path, a personal walk with you and Jesus Christ. It is, I would submit to you, an unction. It is a call. It is something that maybe you don't feel the moving of God's Spirit with the passion that I'm trying to communicate. But I would ask you to just be obedient. It takes effort, but it yields blessing. How many are signing up today for blessing? I mean, you want the blessing of God. Well, participate. Psalm 143, 8 through 10 gives us three specific prayers to ask God. My walk, my safety, and God's will in my life. As we pray, we can record it. It's a way to keep track of what God is doing and saying. And thereby, we can share with others what God is doing. Now, just a couple more things to show you God was way ahead of me on this deal. These are two emails I got in the past week or 10 days. Nope, got them all in the last week. This to me is testimony. Here's how testimony works. It's been the sweetest Christmas time ever. First, we had the best ever Christmas plays. They were awesome. We had a wonderful evening with the trail band. We got to watch our talented young people in their Christmas concert. I got to go have dinner with some friends. It was topped off with a wonderful Christmas Eve service. It was all tied together by your messages. All of it gave us a beautiful picture of the life of Jesus. Are you with me on this? A beautiful picture of the life of Jesus Christ through the Christmas season. For me, it was all finished with phone calls from my grandkids and daughter. Thank you for your part in it. God is so good, and it's such a joy to praise Him. That sounds a lot better than people whining or complaining about how hard something is or how life is unfair. Hi, Skip. I wanted to thank you for the sermon you gave on Ecclesiastes. Now, it's awkward for me to say this because they're thanking me. This has nothing to do with me. This has to do with what you're about to hear, the Word of God. All right. So, I want to thank you for your sermon on Ecclesiastes. When you were preaching that day, I could not receive anything you were speaking. I wonder how often that happens. I wonder how often we preachers wax eloquent and it just... Now, some of it's because your minds are so busy thinking of other things. You're so occupied with your own problems, you know. But sometimes I'll say something you don't agree with. So then you have that mental argument that goes on for the next 5 minutes. You're arguing doctrine with me. In your mind, missing everything. But sometimes you just don't receive what the Word of God says. Right? This person's being very honest. I just didn't receive it. After church, when you spoke to me directly and said, this is only temporary. That was the message on Ecclesiastes, if you weren't here. If you weren't here, see the whole deal, I can summarize it real quick. I don't like vanity of vanities. It's all meaningless. That doesn't lift me up very much. So I looked up a definition of the word meaningless and vanity, and what I came with the word temporary. And I thought, that's great. No matter what I'm going through, it's temporary. So I spoke to this person after church because I knew what they were going through kind of, and I reinforced the fact that this was temporary. I could not receive it then either. All right. This isn't, I'm not talking about somebody with a hard heart. I'm talking about somebody with a broken heart. Are you with me? I'm talking with somebody who's got a thing they're going through. But the truth is like a beam of light in a dark place. Your words kept ringing in my ears, and eventually I began to be able to absorb what you said. I began to realize that this too will pass. Wow. Now, certainly, my ego likes that. I like to think that somebody was blessed by something I said. But what's far more important is that the Word of God gets through. But the Word of God only gets through if we're in the Word of God. So, what I'm hoping you will participate in this year is a Camino with me. That together we're going to walk. Now, I'm going to keep physically walking because it's absolutely spectacular. If you can start physically walking, I would sure recommend it. He said, well, I don't know where to walk or how to walk. Oh, my goodness. We got the linear trail. You come up to my house and walk around my neighborhood. I mean, you go walk around your own neighborhood. There's no shortage of places to walk.
Skip, I think this is fabulous. My encouragement is somebody said something very simple to our family that deeply blessed us this week. That was their testimony. But I'll be honest, I'm sitting here, and can you help me get over my fear that my testimony won't be good enough with whatever I write down to share with others? Because you're asking us to share this on Sunday, what we write down.
Yeah. I don't know if this has made any sense to anybody yet. But I can continue to take 30 or 40 minutes every Sunday and tell you what I think about God. Or I can release much of that time to you. And you wonder about your testimony being good enough?
Yeah.
How could it fail if you say to me, God showed me something in the read this week?
Right.
Now, if you start preaching, I'm going to cut you off. Right? If this gets too wordy, right? Or if it's only the same three people every week, I'm going to encourage others. This is where it gets a little dicey. Can we as a family grow in the way that God's Word is encouraging us? Or do we just want to go back to the way we've always done it? Right. And the practical part of that, for Doug's trying to put shoe leather to it. So you're reading through the week. God speaks to your heart about something in the Word. It's either going to be a 1, 2, or 3.
Show
me the path. Keep me safe. Reveal your will to me, right? So it's path, protection, and will. You with me? That's what I'm asking you to focus on. Now, if you get other testimony, that's wonderful. But I would really like to hear somebody say, boy, this week God showed me a direction to take. Or this week, boy, did God save my life today. I took that turn too fast. I was going to kill myself, and somehow the angels stopped that car from going over the cliff. Whatever. That would be a saving kind of a, right? And we will work it out, won't we? As a family, we're going to have to work out how this works. I've never done this before. And I'm kind of scared about it because it may sound like I'm releasing way too much control to the congregation. What I'm really trying to do is release more of God's Spirit through the people. That's my heart.
Amen.